Welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church.
Thank you for joining us in worship today.
Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, Illinois. I'm Pastor Nate Wallenberg, and welcome to those of you watching this at home as well. Glad everybody made it here today. I didn't see any boats or arcs parked outside, but it's nice and dry here in the sanctuary, and we are thankful that the Lord has had mercy on us, even in the midst of some very interesting weather over the weekend. It is now the fifth Sunday in Lent, which means that we are just 1 week away from Holy Week. Palm Sunday will be next Sunday, and so we look forward to our upcoming celebration of Easter, but we continue to remember our Lord's passion and his suffering on the cross for our benefit, and we give thanks to God today that we get to receive the fruits of that sacrifice, that death and resurrection of Jesus. Our order of worship today will be Divine Service Setting 3 in your hymnal. That begins on page 184. We are also thankful that the mixed choir is up in the balcony, and Ellie Kasten is going to be accompanying a few of our songs and hymns today as well. So this is a blessed day. Let us stand and begin our worship with our invocation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us turn now to the introit printed for you on the inside cover of the bulletin. Salvation belongs to the Lord. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me. I cried aloud to the Lord.
And he answered me from his holy hill.
I lay down and slept.
I woke again, for the Lord sustained me.
I will not be afraid of many thousands of people. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Salvation belongs to the Lord. During the season of Lent, we omit the Gloria in Excelsis, and so now at this time, we will continue with our salutation and collect of the day. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray together the collect of the day. We pray, Almighty God, by your great goodness, mercifully look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's Word. The Old Testament reading appointed for the fifth Sunday in Lent comes from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 43, beginning with verse 16. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise, they are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Epistle reading today comes from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 3, beginning with verse 8. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 20th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Jesus began to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard and let it out to tenants and went into another country for a long while. When the time came, he sent a servant to the tenants so that they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent another servant, but they also beat and treated him shamefully and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent yet a third. This one also they wounded and cast out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Let us kill him so that the inheritance may be ours." And they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those tenants and give the vineyard to others. When they heard this, they said, "Surely not." But he looked directly at them and said, "What then is this that is written? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." The scribes and the chief priests sought to lay hands on him at that very hour, for they perceived that he had told this parable against them. But they feared the people, so they watched him and sent spies who pretended to be sincere, that they might catch him in something he said, so as to deliver him up to the authority and jurisdiction of the governor. This is the gospel of the Lord. And now, having heard God's word, we join together with millions of Christians around the world speaking our common Christian faith. This morning we do so using the words of the Nicene Creed, and those are printed on page 191. We confess together, "I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. Our sermon hymn today is number 645, Built on the Rock. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is the Old Testament reading, Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah begins this passage by reminding his hearers of what God had done among his ancient people in the days of Moses and the Exodus. But then Isaiah quickly says to not remember those things, to not focus so much on the past, but instead to pay close attention to what God is doing now, that God is doing a new thing today. And of course, that new thing that he's doing, of course, is he's sent us a Savior, that we know because of Jesus, he continues to bless us with his word, with his sacrament, even now, even as we speak. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, let me tell you about something that was going on in Central Europe in the early to mid-1800s. Does that sound like a lot of fun? Sound like an exciting way to start a sermon? Back in those days, in what was known as the Kingdom of Prussia, which was the area that now is modern-day Germany and Poland, parts of both of those countries, back in those days, there were a lot of people who didn't seem to be very connected to one another within that kingdom. There were lots of pockets of people, individual groups. They didn't really have a strong sense of national identity. They didn't really have a culture that was unified because they just kind of lived in their own little silos. And so the king of Prussia in those days, King Frederick William III, came up with an idea for how he was going to get his kingdom to be more unified. And he decided the way to do this is to get people to go to church together, which sounds like a really good idea, right? It sounds like a really noble thing to do, but the way that he went about it was he said, we're going to form this thing that is now called the Prussian Union of Churches. It basically means we're going to have everybody form one church, and it's going to be a government-sponsored church, and you got to go to that church or else. So it sounds like a really, really good idea, right? And so in those days, about half the people who lived in the kingdom were Lutheran, and it seemed like a lot of the rest of them were Reformed Calvinists, and they didn't really agree on really important things about church, you know, like the nature of the Lord's Supper, and they didn't even really come to an agreement on how it is that a person is saved. Like, really important basic doctrines of Christian theology. And so this whole idea to just kind of merge them all together into one was something that the Lutherans in particular didn't really think was a great idea. Not really any surprise there. And so there were a lot of Lutherans who resisted this. There were a lot of Lutheran pastors who refused to go along with it. And there were some that were actually thrown into prison. And so because of that persecution that started happening in those days, this is what ultimately led to what we now call the Great German Migration of 1838 and 1839, which basically means that was the time when a whole bunch of Lutherans from Germany decided that they were going to come over here to the United States. They were going to leave their home and come to a place where they would be able to worship God the way that they knew was right, according to Scripture, without a king telling them what they had to do. Now, I promise this sermon is not just going to be a history lesson about things that were going on 200 years ago in church politics, but the reason why I'm telling you about those things and giving you that background is so that we all have a better understanding and an appreciation for some things that have happened a lot more recently. In fact, one thing in particular that happened just 1 week ago. I think a lot of us know this already, but a lot of those German Lutherans who came over back in those days, they ended up settling in a place that's not too far from here, a place that's about 90 miles southwest of here, in a place called Perry County, Missouri. And that is also gotten the nickname of Zion on the Mississippi, which is, I think, kind of a fun name. But that's the place where a lot of them ended up, and that group, which eventually was led by Pastor C.F.W. Walther, they are the ones who essentially formed the church body that we're a part of now, which now is called the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and first came together in 1847. So if you've ever been curious why there are so many Lutherans around here in southern Illinois and so many congregations in all these little small towns around here, that's one of the reasons why. It's because we are just geographically close to the cradle of Lutheranism in America. But for about the last 60 years or so now, there's been a site in Perry County, Missouri, in Frohna, Missouri, which is known as the Saxon Lutheran Memorial. And that's a place where people can go and they can learn a lot about what kind of life those early Lutheran settlers, what it was like in those days. And it's basically a big outdoor museum. If any of you have ever been there before, you know there's like a a log cabin village that's all set up there, and there's all kinds of artifacts from life in those days. But 1 week ago, last Sunday night, during one of those many thunderstorms that has come through our area recently, it was reported that a big thunderbolt crashed, hit a tree right next to the visitor center at the Saxon Lutheran Memorial, and nobody was there at the time, but over the course of just a couple hours, eventually it was seen from far away that the whole visitor center was completely engulfed in flames. And so all of a sudden, years and years worth of German Lutheran history was just gone, turned into ashes in just an instant. Now, thankfully, by God's grace, nobody was hurt in this fire, and none of the other buildings were touched or damaged. But losing so much has really taken its toll on people, particularly the families who are descendants, direct descendants of those first German settlers who have now lost some irreplaceable family heirlooms that were being, you know, displayed. They were on loan to the Saxon Lutheran Memorial. It's just an awful situation. It's terrible, no matter how you look at it. Now, before we get too thoroughly depressed, and I'll come back to this in a little bit, but let's take a moment to see what God's Word has to say about something like this. Our Old Testament reading today comes from a very unique section of the Bible. Isaiah chapter 43 is part of the book of Isaiah, where Isaiah is actually not preaching specifically to the people that he was surrounded with. He actually is addressing people who had not even been born yet, which I know sounds kind of strange, but these words that Isaiah preaches are primarily for the benefit of people who would live 200 years later. People who would be part of the generation of Israelites that got carried off into Babylonian exile. And so these words are for the comfort of people who, by the time they would read them, Isaiah and his entire generation would have passed away long ago. It's kind of funny because even though the intended recipients of this prophecy would have seen it as like a message from the past, the message that Isaiah is giving them is, don't focus on the past. Don't just cling to the history and everything that's long ago. Instead, focus on the new things that you see God doing among you. So he starts out by talking about, you know, remembering some of the things that God had done. He talks about, like I said before, how God is the God of the Exodus. He's the God of Moses. He's the God who led the people across the Red Sea on dry land, and he's the God who destroyed Pharaoh and his army. And I think it makes sense, you know, to remember those things. I think if you and I were in a position where we needed to comfort someone who had been carried off into a foreign land, someone who was scared and missing their home and needing to hear some good news and wondering if God even cared about them, then yeah, we probably would come up with something similar to say from Scripture. Hey, look at how God has treated you in the past. Look at all the amazing things God has done long ago. And so you can be sure he's going to do that sort of thing again, right? You don't have to worry about a thing. But that's not exactly what Isaiah says here. So if you look at verses 18 and 19, Isaiah says, "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it?" It's kind of funny because then he says he's basically now going to do the opposite of what he did during the Exodus. So in the Exodus, he creates a dry path through water. Well, now he's saying that he's going to create a path of water, a river, through the dry land. Just kind of the opposite, right? He says, "I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. It's still a promise. It's a promise of salvation, and it's still the same God who's still rescuing his same chosen people. But it's not done in the same way it was done in the past. It's done in a new way. It's done in a different way. And the only way to really see that, or to perceive it, as Isaiah says here in this text, is to stop clinging to the old things, to stop focusing so much on what is in the past, on the history. And so that being said, I want to go back to what happened at the Saxon Lutheran Memorial. Because you can see, if we put all of our time and all of our attention on the past and on history, if that's all we focus on, then there would absolutely be nothing to hope for once that history all of a sudden just goes up in flames. If the museum caretakers did not have faith in a living and active God who is just as present now in the year 2025 as he was back in 1839, then it would be understandable if they would just give up. If they would just pack it all up and close to the public and never open up that site ever again. But over these last 7 days, every single message that has come from there, every interview that they've given, every post that you read online, all of them are geared toward talking about the hope of what God is doing right now and what he's going to continue to do in the future. Todd Petzold is the name of the chairman, the president of the Saxon Lutheran Board. He quoted Romans 8:28 in an interview that he gave just the other day, expressing his faith that God works all things together for the good of those who love him. Last Wednesday, on their Facebook page, they posted this: "The fire changed the landscape, but it didn't change the mission. Restoration is still the heartbeat of this place, and now, more than ever, we're holding to it." What a faith-filled attitude that is. And it's very similar. I think the same can be said about those early Lutheran migrants who came over and settled in that place in the first place. Out of the burning rubble that was the Lutheran church in the kingdom of Prussia came this new thing that sprang forth, this new thing that God is doing amongst us here in the United States, bringing the gospel to a new world. Their willingness to let go of that comfort and the familiarity of the past and to just trust God, come what may, in what at that time was a very unknown and just uncertain future, it has directly led to basically everything we see going on around us in the church today. It directly led to St. John's Lutheran in Newminden being formed, and then 20 years later being planted here, Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, and all these other different congregations that are around as well, which means we now get to participate in these blessings because of the new things that God is doing amongst us today, in the present. And I know we get a little uncomfortable sometimes when things change. You know, as Lutherans, I think we take that on as part of our identity sometimes. We are rooted in tradition, and we are rooted in history, and those are really good things. But our God is a God who does new things all the time. In fact, one of the new things that he did was he sent us a Savior, Jesus Christ, who rescued his people in a new way, not in the way that God rescued them in the days of the Exodus, not in the way that Isaiah's people would have expected a Savior to come with a king and a big army and a giant earthly battle, but Jesus rescued us in a new way with his sacrificial death on the cross and his resurrection from the tomb and a promise that one day he will take us out of this broken world with all of its sin and suffering and pain and shame. And he'll give us this new thing, a new creation, new heavens and a new earth, and our bodies and our souls united in a new and restored life to live with him forever and ever. And that means we never want to just put all of our eggs in this earthly basket. We don't want to just cling tightly to the familiar and comforting things of this world, because this world isn't going to last. This world is perishing. This world is always only one lightning strike away from just going up in flames and being turned into ashes. But the God who did new things in the days of Moses, in the days of Isaiah, in the days of the Babylonian exile, in the days of Jesus and the apostles, and yes, even in the days of the Saxon Lutheran migration to America, is the same God who does new things now, who forgives your sins now, who feeds you with his word and with his sacraments now, who goes with you and watches over you wherever you may go once you leave this place. He goes with you every single day and every single moment of every day. Trust in him. If you're going to cling to something, cling to him. And through that faith alone, then, as Isaiah says, we become able to perceive it, right? To see all these new things that God is doing in our lives. And not just with our eyes, right? But with our hearts, with our souls. New things for new people who are filled with new life from him. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please stand. You may be seated. At this time, I'll invite the ushers to come forward as we worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Thank you. We have a number of updates for our prayer list today. Under the hospitalized category, we continue to pray for Wallace Eichmeier, who has now been hospitalized as he fights an infection. And we're also remembering Leonard Hertling, the father of Michelle Grathwall, who is recovering from a recent stroke, and he is now at Nashville Hospital. We also remember today Brad Green, who is the father-in-law of Jade Green. Brad is recovering now after a recent heart valve replacement procedure. We remember the family of Paul Stevenson, that is the stepfather of Chris Schnicker, who passed away on Tuesday. We also remember the family of Ruby Paris, that's the mother of our former school principal, Frank Paris, grandmother of Daniel Paris, who passed away last week. We also just received word this morning that our brother in Christ in Hoffman, Phil Palm, passed away yesterday after complications from a recent surgery that he had. And so we'll remember his family in our prayers today. We do give thanks and praise this morning for the birth of Colton Coleman, the son of Chris and Christy Coleman, who was born last Sunday. Thanks be to God. And let us stand as we go to God in prayer. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, your Son spoke the truth before his enemies, even as they sought to trap him in his words and deliver him up to death. Rescue your people from fear and grant them courage to confess the truth, assuring them of deliverance in time of trouble. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you gave your Son to be rejected by sinners, that we may be welcomed into your kingdom. Preserve your church in this life won by Christ, crucified and risen. Give faithfulness to the preaching of your word and the administration of your sacraments. And let your people receive these gifts with penitence and faith. Bless the efforts of our partners in mission and ministry, especially our sister congregation, Emmanuel Lutheran Church and School in Oakville, and their pastor, Eric Wood. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, salvation belongs to you. Your blessing be on your people. Thank you for your good gifts, which lead us to live in the confidence of your grace and salvation. Bless all who are celebrating birthdays this week, including Alexander, Janice, Cruz, Pauline, Jackson, Reed, Randy, Jane, Gavin, Cameron, and Steve. We rejoice today with Christopher and Christy Coleman at the birth of their son, Colton. And we look forward to the day when he is washed in the waters of holy baptism. Be with us in our homes and watch over the married couples of our congregation. Bless those who are celebrating anniversaries, including Craig and Mary Beth Sudmeyer. Fill their lives with your love and grace. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you shield us and lift our heads. Provide for us civil authorities who discourage evil and encourage good. Keep us ever mindful that our hope is in you. Watch over those who serve in the military, including Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Alex, Isaac, Patty, Austin, Ward, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, and Mark. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, show your compassion to all who suffer in our midst. Be with all those who are on our prayer list this day, including all who are in care facilities, Thretta, Beulah, Ronnie, Janice, Jim, Charles, and Betty. We lift before you all those who are hospitalized, especially Wallace and Leonard. Be with Brad as he recovers from his recent surgery. And also, Lord, we lift before you all those with ongoing health needs and concerns, especially Thomas, Bob, Don, Marvin, Amy, Francie, Eulene, Gina, Christy, Brent, Jackie, Henry, Nancy, Elaine, Robert, Laverne, and all those who are facing cancer. Remind them continually of your benefits. Forgive all their iniquities. heal all their diseases, and crown them with steadfast love. Lord, comfort those who mourn the passing of loved ones, especially the families and friends of Paul Stevenson, Ruby Paris, and Phil Palm. Comfort them with the promise of the resurrection. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, St. Paul counted all things as rubbish in order that he might gain Christ. Give us repentant hearts that we would abandon all confidence in our flesh and so receive your Son's body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, in baptism, you have shared Christ's suffering, death, and resurrection with us that we might be raised from the dead. Preserve us from taking his sacrifice for granted. Encourage us to forget what lies behind and strain forward to what lies ahead until we attain the resurrection from the dead. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We will now continue with our service of the sacrament, which begins on page 194. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Mercy upon us.
Please stand. And we turn now to page 199. We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen, amen, amen.
You may be seated for our closing hymn, number 584, Faith and Truth and Life Bestowing. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you again to our musicians and the piano music this morning. It's like church unplugged today. So. Is it bad? It's unplugged. The organ's unplugged, so yeah. Okay. Oh, I gotcha. Well, what a blessing it is that we have another instrument up there, and thank you to Ellie for accompanying us as well, and the mixed choir for singing. My first announcement today is just we're gonna call this Sunday, because it's just all the things that are happening today, okay? It's a busy day, it's a busy time of year. I'm going to ask our public school and other non-Trinity Hoyleton School confirmands to join me up in the front after we get done with announcements and shaking hands. We're going to do our final run-through and rehearsal for the questioning service, which is coming up on Wednesday. But also going on right now in the community building is the Hoyleton Fire Association drive-through chicken dinner. So be aware that they're serving that meal, $15 a piece, until they're sold out over there. And this evening there's men's choir at 5 o'clock, and there'll be youth night also at 6 o'clock. So that's my first announcement is Sunday. My second announcement is about this coming Wednesday with the questioning that I just mentioned. Please, please, please note that the worship service on Wednesday will begin a half hour earlier at 6 o'clock. The reason for that is it's a longer service with the questioning taking place, and there's going to be a reception afterward over in the activity center, and it's a school night. So we're trying to get everything started earlier on Wednesday. I will be preaching my sermon that I've been preaching in every other congregation on the hand of the Lord creates and saves. So I'll be doing that in the beginning of the service, and then we'll proceed on with the questioning. Confirmands are invited to join us starting at 5 o'clock because we're going to be taking our pictures together before the service begins. There will not be a meal served this Wednesday, so that's an important thing to remember as well. You're going to need to eat on your own before you come to church on Wednesday, but we hope to see you there at 6 o'clock. My last announcement is just about Holy Week coming up in general. Just be paying attention to the schedule that's printed for you in the bulletin and all of the different times that church will take place, because it's kind of all over. Coming up on Maundy Thursday, that's going to be a 6:30 service with communion. But then on Good Friday, church will begin at 7 o'clock. The reason why we have a difference in the time is because that'll be a service of darkness. We need to start at 7 o'clock so that it actually will get dark during the church service. However, you are invited on Good Friday to join us at 6:30 if you would like to. I'm going to be doing a passion reading. And that'll just be for anybody who would like to hear the whole Passion story read from beginning to end. It takes about a half hour to read the whole thing. It's not technically part of the service. So the service will begin at 7, but as you arrive in those minutes leading up to 7 o'clock, that will be taking place here in the sanctuary, and you're invited to just come in and listen until the service begins at 7. Just also paying attention to Easter Sunday. There'll be 6:30 service, sunrise service. We will not have adult Bible class or Sunday school on Easter Sunday, but there will be a breakfast that'll be served by our youth group in between the services. And then, of course, we'll have our regular service with communion at 9:30 that day. So lots and lots of things coming up. I just want to make sure you're paying attention to all the announcements in the bulletin. Yes. Yes, next Sunday is Palm Sunday. Our Sunday school children will be participating in the processional. And they'll be waving their palm branches. And so where would you like them to meet?
Sunday school at the Activity Center at
9:20. Okay, at 9:20, gather in the Activity Center, 9:20. And then they'll make their way over here together as the service begins at 9:30. Thank you. Any other announcements today? All right, well, God's blessings on your week. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us for church today. Have a blessed week.
Thank you.